Hello, this is Judy Messer here. And this interview is taking place at a point of my life when I am starting to celebrate my 40th year as a photographer. There's been many turns of events that have happened over the 40 years, so I'm going to give you a brief little outline of my journey as an artist. My artistry or interest in creative work started probably back when I was about 10 years old. I've always been making something, creating something, learning to draw. I always felt a need to be creative. Later in life, I've learned about this energy that needed to be addressed and can understand it, of course, more clearly. But over the years, I have always had a need to either be exercising or making something. And I used to do crafts such as like macrame, making beaded necklaces and earrings and everything. But it then turned into a deeper commitment when I had to make a choice of what high school to go to in the city of Springfield, where I grew up in the Forest Park section of Springfield. And I first chose to go to a school called Classical High School, and then quickly learned that that was not my place, that I needed to be doing something that was a little bit closer to my heart, which was not preparing for college through books, but through making something. And I looked into Putnam Vo-Tech, and after half a year being at Classical, they told me that I had to take 10th grade over in order to attend the school. So I worked to my 16th birthday at Classical, and then I quit and I went to work and worked the whole summer and then started all over again high school so that I could study with Doug Bradway at the high school, which was the commercial art program. And it was well worth every minute spent with him. He was a fabulous teacher. And we were, of course, one of, I'd say, the last couple of graduating classes that didn't include computers. So I was always the pre-computer student, or actually still soul out here in the creative world, that had to work with making your own layers of production. So we had to do hand lettering, we had to do more drawing. So we had a lot of skill set that taught us about how to be able to make a finished piece, whether it be for a book or whether it be for publication, a lot of editorial work. And part of that program, there was a small darkroom that was a part of that wing, per se, of the commercial art department. And it's kind of funny, I was just speaking to somebody about this, that there was two boys that were able to be in the darkroom, and I was always interested, but I was told that I couldn't. And finally, after a while, after really getting a little bit firm with my teacher, saying, this is not fair, that, you know, and he goes, well, I can't have a boy and a girl in the darkroom at the same time. And I said, you know, I really think we need to come to an understanding about this. I have absolutely no interest in those boys. And also, that is really very sexist to not allow me in the darkroom. I have a new camera, and I had bought my first 35 millimeter Pentax K1000, which is still one of my favorite toys, per se, in the art medium, which sadly I did sell to an ex-boyfriend many years later. But he finally let me in there, and that is where I started to learn how to develop film and my first love and taste for making prints, black and white prints. After graduation, I did pursue going to Westfield State College to continue my fine art program, commercial art. And when I was there, again, I was faced with the juggling of academic world versus painting and drawing and getting a little bit confused in the details of it all and trying to also support myself. And one day, while carrying an oil painting into my oil painting class that was supposed to have been done over a period of maybe 3 months, which of course I crash painted in 2 weeks, so it was still wet, was blown into my jacket. And while running into class, and it got smudged, and of course I was wearing the beautiful fall colors all over me. and kind of had a little bit of a meltdown when I brought it into class. And it made me ask myself, what is my objective and intention now at this point of my life? And after speaking to my professors at the school, it happened to be that I was working at a restaurant in town serving, and somebody had come in and was sitting at the bar where I was getting the drinks to go to my table that I was waiting dinner for. And they were showing the bartender a program about Hallmark Institute of Photography, and it had photographs in it. And I remember looking and saying, can I see that? And it was a brochure, and I looked at it and immediately just was like, I can do this. I should do this. And I brought it to my professors the next day and said, would I be taking the easy way out to do photography? And I just love this man's response. And he said, Judy, anything done well is not easy. And you have a lot of talent or something in this sense of like in your little pinky. And no matter what you decide to do, you should, you know, just pursue where your heart tells you to go. And I looked into the school and I did an interview and I finished the semester and I left Westfield State. And then, of course, I worked to save and started the program. And one of the things that was very attractive to the program for me personally was that it was an intense 10-month program, you know, put into 2 years. So I was going to really be totally dedicated to this practice. And I love that. That's good for my mind, my energy, my creative intentions. So it really served me well. I did go there thinking I was going to do commercial photography, which was part of their program. And I ended up falling in love with portraiture. We had to learn how to use every format camera, which I'm so thankful for today that I had to learn that. As crazy as it was to bid for the use of a 4x5 view camera, there was not much for materials that were available. We all had to kind of take turns to do our assignments. I'm just so thankful that I got to use all the formats. And although I had little time or money to really buy a 4x5, I've always had a love for the use of black and white photography and how the 4x5 artists in the world at the time were using these cameras like Ansel Adams and Minor White and all these fabulous photographers that are out there. And during that time, in the 80s and 70s, that were using these view cameras to make very beautiful black and white images. And then, of course, finishing and making them in beautiful silver print processes. Of course, then photogravures and other processes too. So after I attended the school, well, during the time I attended the school and having to choose my final portfolio for my school final, I did go with a general portfolio to show both, but I knew in my heart I probably would go into portraiture, but I did have a general diploma. So from there, I decided that I wanted to spend some time in Washington State. I told my sister who lived there, one of my sisters, I have, there's five of us girls and one brother, and my brother was the oldest, and he unfortunately died in Vietnam. But one of my older sisters was married and moved to Washington State. And I had gone in high school and said, when I was done with college, if I was ever single and looking for work, that I might explore the state. So I moved out to Washington State. And I worked for a portrait studio that was really deep in being behind with their printing, with their orders. And my first job was printing and helping him with photo restoration at that time, which was all done by hand. There was no digital imaging going in and, you know, taking away ripped pieces of faces. You know, we had to actually put the images together and make a photograph and then go on to the photograph and do pastel work and pencil work and different watercolor work and, you know, with the inks that were the photographs were made with, and mix them to the perfect density and put eyeballs back in and ears and pieces and then photograph it again and then do it again until we got to the end where you had no idea that the photograph was ever ripped or destroyed to begin with. So I did things like that, and I printed for him. And I even did some work printing for him in big barrels, like he had these tubes in order to develop these large prints that were made that he would go up in airplanes and make images for Boeing of you know, these aerials. And so I would print those for him too, which were very large, 30 by 40s, 40 by 60s, that I would roll and put in these drums and I would pour the chemicals in. So that was quite a fascinating process. But I love just learning. And he was fascinated with how many skills I came with, like was blown away, like I could sell and I could print, and then I could run a little mini printer and color correct and do his weddings, and got him 3 months behind he was. And I would work weekends, and I would hike on the weekends and work all week till I could save up money. I didn't come from wealth, and I was staying at my sister's in order to be able to live there. And actually had to rebuild an engine when I got there in my car after 30 quarts of oil to drive to Washington State from Massachusetts. But I saved everything I could, and I worked really hard until the spring, when I saw in the paper that somebody was selling a Hasselblad system on one of the islands off of Seattle. And so I that day immediately called that person and said, is it still available? I absolutely want to buy it. And she said it was. And little to my surprise, after my engine freezing over on my way to the ferry and my sister rescuing me and getting me to this island to meet this lady, I walked in to meet a 90-year-old lady who was going through a divorce and was selling her husband's camera system. And I was very lucky to be the one to receive it. I asked her why he had it, and she said, because he always had the best of everything. And this was a beautiful 500 cm Hasselblad with a normal 50 millimeter lens and one other lens that I knew that I was getting at a steal pretty much. And I walked off of her porch and made this beautiful sunset. She had one roll of color film that was in there, and I loaded it just to see how, you know, the magazine worked and everything. And off of, in this island house, she was right on the water. I could see Mount Rainier with these beautiful pinks and purples in the sky. And I made my first photograph on my Hasselblad that I still have today after maybe 4 or 5 times having it professionally cleaned. It's the same exact system that I have. And my biggest wish now is how to come up with $4,000 to buy the digital back that Hasselblad makes and offers so I can continue to use it. But it's been sitting in a bag waiting for this digital back because of the loss, of course, of people available to make still film images and printing, but also to develop it and process it in a way that makes it economical. So from there, I continued to work at the studio. And after I was able to climb on Mount Rainier, I didn't summit because one of the people with us got altitude sickness. I felt like I completed my journey there of hiking every weekend, having a chance to be on a glacier. I packed up my photography equipment, drove back home, and went to the first year anniversary alumni conference and started looking into where I was going to set my roots and to do some marketing to get a loan to start a portrait business of my own. And I ended up in Groton, Massachusetts. And after marketing and looking at where I wanted to be, I needed some rural because I needed nature close to the White Mountains to get to. I needed, you know, the ocean. And I knew that I could work, you know, taking care of a bedroom community of executives. I had families in from Boston. And Harvard, Littleton, Westford was what I researched and did. And sure enough, with a cosigner of my parents, I took out a $30,000 loan and bought more Hasselblad equipment and a lighting system and everything I needed, and went to an Apple Blossom Festival where I displayed 4 portrait sessions that I did for free to show what I was going to do and set up. And from that one show, I booked like 6 to 7 portrait sessions that I can remember, and that started my career. And I stayed in that area working, doing large canvas images of color portraits of children and families on location using all natural light, which was against all the principles of really making money, but I didn't care. It was more of an illustration and it was a story. And I knew that I had to tell stories and not just mass produce people in a studio. Going back, I had that experience when I first got to Washington and walked out. I went to lunch and never went back. So that was my experience of being in a studio. When they told me after 3 months of being there, I could load the film. I just said, yeah, I'm going to go to lunch now. And anyway, and so I really enjoyed working with the families. But I knew it was really interesting that after the first few sessions that I did, I learned immediately that it wasn't going to be what I thought my fears were going to be, which was exposure and lighting and composition. It was going to be emotionally and psychologically how I was going to work with these little people that were running the show in front of my camera and their interaction with their family and all of that. And it really just was like, oh my goodness, this is going to be a journey. So I started to get books on working with children, even though I'm from a family, a huge family of children. My sisters, as I had said, that were older than me, all already had 2 to 3 children each, some of them 4, except for my twin. One of my sisters is a twin. And we hadn't started a family yet, but I had been around a lot of children. I was, you know, the cool aunt that was still, you know, flexible and could be available to the little kids. And so I've always loved children, but working with them, I had a personal interest, and there was something to them that I could just see the way that they looked at me, that there was a connection that I didn't quite understand, but it drew me in to learn more. And so I'd have to say that it just continued to be something that I knew that I needed to learn and specialize. I remember approaching Paul Turnbull, who is a colleague who owned Hallmark Institute of Photography, one of my very special dear friends, but mentors, that I said to him, you know, through the years during that time of marketing and learning about this industry, he said, it's a bittersweet industry that, you know, there's so many directions that you can go in, but you got to be careful. You've got, you know, really specializing. So I chose on-location portraiture of children to be my specialty. But I also did do editorial work and some other personal assignments, which included documentary portraiture of artists, which has, fast forward to now today, me sitting here is partly why I'm a part of the museum again, because they're now showing one of those documentary series. And then I also did some landscape photography when I traveled and hiked, because I've always loved the natural world. And I needed to continue to do that and learn about how to use my medium format camera to do what people were doing with their larger format cameras. I really didn't want to invest in another one, and I wanted to learn how to use a roll film the same way they were using sheet film. So I studied with some of which I feel are the top black and white photographers doing the most fabulous all over the country landscape photography, of course, with 4x5s. And let me just say that this group of large format photographers consisted of 99% male. And I was one of the few that were just persistent. I want in, and they just, because they knew me and respected me, always allowed me to be a part of their groups, even today, even though that's grown with the female identity, you know, that they've always allowed me as an honorary black and white photographer, you know, because I had done what I did with so much, I feel, integrity, and they did too. So it's no surprise that fast forward, leaving Groton and moving to what has become my home for 35 years, to move to Northampton, Massachusetts. I was working as a portrait photographer in Groton, but also traveling to Hallmark Institute of Photography to review portfolios at the end of the year. I was always a guest panelist for many years. And then I also became one of their teachers. I worked in the Department of Retouching and Finishing, showing people how to use 0.000 brushes to take dye and to go into people's pimples on a 2 1/4 size negative and build up density so that when they could print it, the minus density that was on the negative would be a positive density of neutralness, so that that pimple would no longer be there, or the color, the darkness under their eyes and dust spots on the negative. So I taught that, and I taught how to do color finishing as well as other things that they needed me to jump in on. But over time, I felt that the Groton, Mass area was kind of not for me personally, and that it was very hard to find anything vegetarian that wasn't a donut or regular coffee for someone who was growing as a woman as well, that needed different menus. And I always loved Northampton food, and I loved the valley, and it brought me closer to home with my parents were aging and my families were growing, and I miss people and was closer to Hallmark. So I kind of decided that I would be an on-location traveling photographer and continue to travel to the people that I had marketed, you know, towards the eastern part of the state, but live here. So I did. And I was only here a year when I was marketing, you know, my portrait photography. And I started by doing that by working with a little children's boutique that was in Thorne's Market. And I offered 3 or 4 sessions. And then those people agreed for those portraits to be in the window of that person's marketing and to show children. He sold toys and clothing, and they wore their clothing, but had a beautiful portrait of their children. And then also, you know, so Seth also was able to use them in his advertisement. So between the advertisement and these sessions, there grew my status here as a portrait photographer. And also, at that time, I fell in love and got married and pregnant with my first daughter, which put an end to my printing career, which I was subletting a darkroom at the time. And of course, when experiencing that, wow, I'm not going to be able to print for quite a while because I'll probably print and then nurse and then be a mom as well as this. And I feel this is relevant because these are the curves that are challenged with people who identify themselves as a woman and choose this life pathway. And I did, you know, at the time, of course, and I gave up my darkroom for child number one. And I did proceed to make her, birth her, and nurse her for a year and continue with my portraiture, but not doing the printing anymore. So I started hiring a printer and then went into continuing my life. And then child, of course, number two came, and I used to also frame and mat all of my work as well. And I gave up framing and matting. So child number two took that one away. And I kept give and take kind of my roles as a professional. But in areas that I felt someone else could do, but I could still maintain doing what I did, as well as being a mother, that was very important in my choice making. I didn't want to just be a mother to pass this on. I wanted to be active and involved. And fast forward, continuing throughout the time of being a mother, I would slip away on mornings like this, that this portrait of this path, as I call it, Paradise Path, was made. I needed to use my camera whenever I can, when I wasn't nursing, when I wasn't parenting, and I could slip away when the lighting was that beautiful, magical time of light, which was an hour before the sun would rise, an hour after it would rise, an hour before the sunset, and an hour after. The sunset was the lighting that I chose to work with camera and a tripod, very long exposures, and again, treating my film, roll film, like a still film, sheet film, and making certain exposures that were, you know, for the highlights and developing for the shadows. And I would go to where I could in the distance and the time that I had, and I found that I fell in love with the gardens at Smith College. It was a common area that we all would, you know, go to. I would walk my children there. I was fortunate to be a neighbor and live not far from there. So I would walk my children in their carriage, and I would do my personal walks and runs to just stay active. And I would visit the gardens and learn all these gorgeous places that were right there in my backyard. This particular image happened on a morning that I just knew, after the night before with the rains and with the fall happening, that I needed to go out and see what I could find. And when I arrived at Smith College, there was just this beautiful fog happening from the rains the night before and the sun warmth, which hadn't been up yet but was starting to. And I set up my camera because of the values that were in the distance, and I love the line of the two paths coming together. Reminds me, of course, the poem. And I just felt like this composition was meaningful, coming around the water and taking the viewer into the image, and the beautiful subtle tones and the values that were happening with the different maple trees that bordered the pathway, taking you in as a reader and a viewer. And this one tree towards the right that was very heavy in tone, but I used that to frame, to kind of vignette the image with a darker vignette and leading you into the lighter tones of the maples along the way. And so I made several exposures and developed the image to bring out the values of the deep darks and the subtle tones that were happening in this mist. And it became one of my favorite landscapes for many reasons. Just the experience of being there too. There was actually a second photograph that was made that day that is a second favorite. And it was of their big tree that's to the right of where I was standing, that huge maple that a swing, I think, still exists in many moments of passing by the swing, of just watching the students and people that would just sit there and look at this beautiful paradise pond. And I made actually an image that day of that as well. That is one of my favorites. But these images were because of shared experiences that we all had. People that purchased this print run there, walk there, got married by there. Just different stories of the community and it, you know, the poems and the writing and the stories that came up when people would look at it. Just hearing what where people went in their mind, in their heart after seeing it. And I was very honored when the library had approached me. I knew a few of the people that were members and volunteers of the library who had continued to see my work and who approached me and said, we really want to have one of your images as a part of your collection. It was kind of a no-brainer for myself. I just immediately thought of that, and actually the one with the swing as well. And there was a couple of others from the gardens, but I kept going towards the garden being where the library neighbors. These beautiful, enchanted spaces that artists would paint and express with, and that people would go to for solitude, as though people do with books and, you know, in their own personal time, as I did. So that is how the photograph came to be. And I was very honored that they have it. And I love how it also exhibits and hangs across from actually someone who now just printed this current show that I have, who is a fabulous printer and photographer himself, Stan Shearer, that our images, the collection, like hang across from each other. Is it just a personal joy and private celebration that I have that that has happened as well. So currently I have continued to make black and white photographs, but funny as it is, my three children have now grown and I'm on my own, and I find that my camera is my cell phone. I have a higher end cell phone, but it's easy, it's quick, and I also now have moved into digital imaging with great resistance. It actually is sad that the digital medium, 9/11 and other personal things, have kind of changed my direction in life. It kind of took away my career as opposed to helping my career. I lost my printers from the tray developing printing. I lost printers who would make and develop my film. So the process to offer fine art on location still film photography changed drastically. I feel like that this is something to share because we went through this and it's just heartbreaking, and conversations have recently happened here, even at the library, about how different the portrait field is. The joy of making photographs and being able to bring someone to their ability to be present in their body, in their mind, and comfortable in front of a camera, and comfortable by being very rooted in wherever, whatever environment they were in that was special to them. It was important to me that that happened, and that's why I was able to achieve what I did. Meant a lot to me. And I just felt with digital, it didn't record the quality of that quite yet. So I was one of the last photographers to sort of give in to a digital camera. But when I did, I chose to change my direction, which was going more editorial portraiture. And that was great for a while, but even that changed, actually. I was teaching too here and there at different colleges on portraiture, and I would teach a course called the Zen of Portraiture because I really felt that people needed to be educated on what it meant to really not just be the technical photographer, but what it meant to treat and to experience the portrait session, because that is really indeed what you're recording, the sharing. And when I did, I ended up having these students actually take some of my jobs. So I started to have less and less work. So again, shifting into the realities of what it's like to stay in a financial situation to the art and the love of it all in real life, is part of the dance that goes behind making these images. And so I now am finding myself again to work with the digital medium as well as paint. I've been using a lot of my past photography as guides. And this happened because of COVID and the shutdown. I was really needing something creative, and my children were gone, and I found myself needing a project. And I decided that I was going to use all of my inventory of thousands of photographs that were on my computer. And I decided that I was going to make a book. I was going to render my color images, digital images, and help watercolorists and artists learn how to build value by supplying for them grayscale images and a photographic coloring book. So currently I am in the making of this book, and it's going to consist of, you know, only a small number of pages, but rendered images printed on 140 watercolor paper, which is what I used to do when I would oil paint my black and white portraiture, which I didn't mention a lot about, but it's one of the things that I did for many years. And so I took the skill and the idea of the skill and decided to try to kind of marry this new digital imaging that I wanted to try to stay positive about and make something authentic for myself. And so currently this is where I find myself, is making these digital grayscale coloring books for people to enjoy my compositions and the stories that I feel very blessed that I've been able to continue to make on my hikes along the way of parenting, just personal inspirations of nature, and continue to grow as an artist. So I'm using some of the digital images to make portraits to show people in places of peace. I feel this is what I did along the way, as well as make portraits of these landscapes like Paradise Path, which I felt was a place of peace, which is a big part of my personal life. I meditate. I'm a yoga therapist. I have continued to seek this as a part of my life, and now I'm applying it to using my camera, whether it be medium format, to continue to make portraits of people in their place of peace, or editorials for their personal expression for professional work, as well as making portraits that I now sketch out and oil paint. So I'm furthering my career by becoming an oil painting portrait artist. And I'm really looking forward to seeing where this goes. And all of these images, like Paradise Path, have been an inspiration to bring me where I am today. So thank you for listening to my story and learning a little bit more about me. And I hope you can visit this image in person at the library and maybe see some additional work that's going to be included in their collection of some of my portraits from a documentary that I did called Binding a Valley, which is a collection of portraits of book artists from the 90s. So thank you for your time and sharing this journey of this beautiful image, Paradise Path.